Residents of Louisiana are still reeling from Hurricane Ida, more than a week after the Category 4 hurricane struck. And that includes 15 Native American tribes in the state. The United Uma Nation is one of them. With a population of 19,000, Uma tribal citizens are spread over six parishes south of New Orleans. Monique Verdan is a citizen of the Uma Nation, and she's a member of a group working for social justice, economic justice, and environmental justice. It's called Another Gulf is Possible. And Monique, I understand you yourself had to evacuate last week. So where are you and what's your situation?
Well, I'm back in Bolbuncha, which is also better known as the city of New Orleans. My family land, which is my primary home in St. Bernard Parish, was fine. My studio in the city where I stay quite a bit had the ceiling fall. So I'm kind of camped out at a friend's house right now where I have Wi-Fi and trying to organize distribution drop-offs for the Bayou communities at the ends of the roads in Terrebonne and Lafourche parishes.
Hmm. And tell me a little bit more about the damage you saw that Ida brought to homes, to neighborhoods.
The eye of the storm just rolled up into the Barataria Terrebonne estuary, which, South Louisiana is losing land at one of the fastest rates in the world. And that territory, which is the traditional homes of the indigenous peoples, are found between the Atchafalaya and Mississippi rivers. That is where the majority of the indigenous population still is at the ends of these bayous. But the winds just blew communities to bits. As my little cousin told me when she went home to Pointe-aux-Chenes, she was like, "Monique, I can tell you who has a home left better than I can tell you who doesn't."
Wow. And as you're describing, this storm comes on top of a situation where you're losing land, more rapidly than I understand almost anywhere else in North America here. So, I mean, how do these interact here? Does that just mean there is far less buffer when the storm surge comes?
Yeah. However many miles of marsh we have, that can cut down the storm surge by feet in some cases. But because our marshes have been decimated, and that being tied to a legacy of extraction and also a legacy of manipulating, the nature's intelligence down here by constricting the Mississippi River, kind of cutting off our lifeline of fresh water and sediments getting into our wetlands. But then also since the 1930s, we've had over 10,000 miles of canals that have been cut through our marshes, and not to mention just pulling materials out of the wetlands and how that also contributes to marsh collapse.
Yeah. Wow. And as you're describing, right, water coming from all these directions for all these different reasons, there's that water and then there's the freshwater situation. Is that available right now?
No, I was just talking to an elder in Dulage, which is a bayou community. An elder was saying, they were collecting rainwater in their buckets just for basic things like flushing toilets. And we were talking about how important it is, to have cisterns that can be weather resistant and how important that infrastructure is in this moment of needing, to really recognize this. We have to adapt to these changing weather and extreme weather events.
Yeah. And in the middle of all of this, you're living in a place where there's so much petrochemical activity, right? Pipelines and chemical plants and historic toxic waste dumps and sites. Is this a situation where a fear or perhaps a reality of oil spills coming?
Oh, I mean, the oils spill all the time. Refineries have been flaring for days here, and
flaring the hydrocarbons through the smokestacks.
Right, because everyone lost power, including the refineries, and when that happens, then they have to manage. You have to remember that. Before we had oil and gas in South Louisiana, we had sugarcane. So we are still operating very much so off of a kind of plantation mentality.
And well, I guess with all this resource and corporate wealth, we're learning from Ida, not just in Louisiana, but in other places, that so often the people who are hit the worst are the least well off.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that, you know, we have to recognize that we're all connected. If we're burning fossil fuels here in South Louisiana, those impacts are felt far beyond South Louisiana. You know, man definitely has a role that we've been playing and that we've inherited, you know, but we have to be honest about how we got here in order for us to find a way forward.
We have been speaking with Monique Verdan. She's a citizen of the Uma Nation in Louisiana, and she's also part of a group called Another Gulf is Possible, seeking environmental, social, and economic justice. Monique, thanks for the time.
Thanks so much.